Dharma Talks by Mogik Sayadaw, the 14th of January 1961. True Refuge, God or Dharma? The Buddha and Arya disciples were great differences from all worldlings. Padarjana, which meant man with full of defilements, Kalesa. So, worldlings include all ordinary humans from religious leaders, philosophers, politicians, economists, scientists, wealthy people, etc. The lists will never end. After his enlightenment, the Buddha was looking for a teacher who he could depend on, because without a teacher was not good. But he could not find anyone who could surpass him in sila, samadhi and panna. So, he took the Dharma as his teacher. This was not worldly Dharma, truly noble Dharma. Even worldly dharmas, there are two types, unwholesome and wholesome. Unwholesome dharmas lead to suffering, problems, disharmony, chaos and destruction, etc. Many kinds. We can see this in the world situation today. Wholesome dharmas are the opposite, but by itself cannot transcend dukkha, birth, old age, sickness and death. It cannot immunize from unwholesomeness. So, beings still can have the chances to fall into woeful existences, apayas. Even at near his death, the Buddha not appointed his successor. He appointed the Dharma as his successor and teacher of all his followers, including all kinds of living beings, because all beings are part of nature. The Dharma means natural phenomena and natural laws and principles. This was the wisest thing to do. Throughout human history, we will only find people choosing or appointing their religious and political figures to act as their teachers or leaders. Later, these teachers and leaders had problems within the communities and became corrupted. Even we could find these kinds of leadership in later Buddhist communities, because man was easily corrupted as worldling. But natural laws and principles are never changed and universal. If have to change, man has to change his mind and not Dharma. If change, the Dharma will become a Dharma, non-Dharma of the Buddha. By not changing the Dharma, it will last longer. People do not confuse with the teaching and practice, and will have the good results. Wholesome dharmas are the foundation for human survival and progress. We can see this in some suttas on the universal monarch, Kakavatthiraja, because they ruled the world according to the Dharma, they depended on the Dharma, took the Dharma as their refuge, then were revering, cherishing, doing homage to the Dharma. The monarch, his governments and all the citizens followed and behaved accordingly to the Dharma, such as directing oneself rightly, atta samma panadi ca, well-mastered discipline, vinayo ca sasikito, etc. That it could be called golden era, peaceful, harmonious, happiness, progress and well-being. See all these wholesome dharmas in the Mangala Sutta, Suttanipata. If we observe today world, there are more bad leaders and governments around the world than before, a lot of chaos going on. Why is that? Because these people are taking refuge in the unwholesome dharmas, which represent a blind man. A blind man has eyes, but he cannot see the shining and brilliant sun, which represents the Dharma, which can see and penetrate the blind man internally and externally very clear. Therefore, the Buddha called worldling as blind worldling, and apadarjana. Dharma represents Buddha and the Arya Sangha, because if no Dharma and there will be no Buddha and a Sangha, vice versa. The Tirathana, Buddha, Dharma and a Sangha are inseparable. They are true refuge and with Dharma can solve all the ills of the human problem. Closing square bracket. When someone falls off a ship or a boat and drowns, Whom is he going to rely on then? That's when you have to rely on yourself. Here you are all drifting with the current of Tanner water. Tanner is asking you to work for the matters of family members, wife and children, and business. You'll arrive to the four apaya, woeful existences, if you sink in the Tanner river. Let you busy with all these matters, worldly affairs, and you'll sink in the Kalesa water. If you look at this and that, houses all are drifting in the water of Kalesas, and no one has anything to rely on yet. But there is a path factor raft, the raft of Magunga, Noble Eightfold Path, for a reliance. It'll not become the five path factors, Karaka Magan, if you do not practice and contemplate. As for the eight path factors, it's still very far away. For a drifting person in the river, he'll end up in sinking in it. He'll never rise up again if sinking in it. This is not an exaggeration. The Buddha himself gave an analogy to Mahanama as like a pebble falling into the water bottom could not rise up again. This referred to a worldling. A Sotapanna is like butter that never sinks to the bottom of the water, which refers to the woeful and terrible existence, apaya. You have to rely on yourself means not the physical body. It refers to the magan, path factors. You cross the water, Tanna, with your own magan raft, and you will get your own nibbana. Just because you don't get it through Dana and Sila, it doesn't mean you don't have to rely on them. But it needs your own magan raft. Dana and Sila are far causes. Why do I have to encourage you strongly? Because you all are still empty-handed with it. All the human businesses are drifting in the Kalesa water. You are in foolishness with losses. These words seemed insignificant but has profound meaning behind it. Any living beings born as a human being is a very rare chance. The Buddha himself gave a simile of a blind turtle and a yolk with a single hole on it. A blind turtle in the sea, every 100 years it emerged to the surface only once. The yolk also was floating on the water. The turtle's head went into this single hole was very difficult indeed. In the same way, if a being falls into hell, it is harder for it to come back up again to the human world than a turtle's head meets the hole of a yolk in the ocean. Most human beings only indulgence in sensual pleasures, so they also in heedlessness to do good and merits. They are just wasting their times and good chances by doing foolish things with one's life. You were sent by Dharma to human world. There are three kinds of Dharma: unwholesome, wholesome and Nibbana. Unwholesome Dharmas send beings to bad destinations, Dugati, wholesome Dharmas to good destinations, Sugati, and the path factors to Nibbana, the ending of Dukkha. So, you have to go wherever by the Dharma. Dharma is natural fixed course and always in this way after the winter and summer will come. God is not and not existence like the Atta concept. Dharma will function with its natural fixed course. You can't make wishes for it. This is Utu Niyama, the natural fixed course of temperature, weather. Kama Niyama, the natural fixed course of action is beings will be born in any places or arrive to any places sent by kamas. It's nothing to do with your own power and ability. Therefore, you have to rely on the Dharma. After death, you have to go with the arrangement of Dharma. It is the cause of the Dharma, not by God or the Creator, that makes the difference between people. These are Dharma Niyama, the natural fixed course of natural phenomena. The Buddha said that you had to rely on yourself, Atahai Atano Natho, DHP 160. It does not mean this physical body, but it refers to the Dharma. You all are using it wrongly as we have to rely on ourselves. This body is non-self and who can own it? I'll give you the story of the verse, Gata mentioned by the Buddha to the monks. Sayadaw told the story of Kumara Kassapa's mother who had strong attachment to her son Ven. Kumara Kassapa, who was an arahant. When she had got no response from him, and she came to her senses and saw the fault of any attachment. She was already a bhikkhuni herself for some years already. After putting down her attachment and with the practice became arahant. The Buddha spoke the following gata. One indeed is one's own refuge. No one be a refuge to us. With oneself thoroughly tamed can attain the refuge, Nibbana, which is difficult to achieve. From Dharmapada, Atta Vagga, Self verse 160. Human beings will never solve their problems and sufferings if they are always looking for outside power to help them. Their minds are the creators and their saviors are also their inner qualities of the mind, the wholesome and transcendental dharmas. Closing square bracket. When you are alive, contemplate the impermanence of phenomena. At dying, also contemplate the impermanence of phenomena and die with it. And then all the impermanent phenomena, kanda or dukkha, cease here and the path factors, magunga, lead to nibbana. Dharma Talks by Mogik Sayadaw, 25th to the 30th of September 1961. The Art of Living and Dying. Here are 6 talks on dying, the first 3 talks based on Channavada Sutta, Advice to Channa, Minnesota 144 Channavada Suttam, and the last 3 talks based on Anathapindika, Minnesota 143 Anathapindikovada Suttam. Both suttas are in the Uparapanasapali, Salayatanavagga, Majjhima N. In the Channavada Sutta, Ven. Channa was gravely ill and wanted to take his life with a knife because he took himself as an arahant. Ven. Sariputta and his younger brother Ven. Kunda went to see him. Ven. Sariputta asked him questions for wanting to know his practice. Channa overestimated his attainment but Ven. Sariputta knew that he was not arahant. Ven. Kunda also knew it because both of them were arahants. So Kunda reminded Channa about what the Buddha had constantly given attention to monks as an instruction. When someone's mind was shaking, he was independent. If not shaking, he was independence. So, there was tranquility in him with no bias. Without bias, there was no coming and going. Without coming and going, there was no passing away and reappearing. Without passing away and reappearing, there was no here nor beyond nor in between. This was the end of dukkha. After Sariputta and Kunda left, Channa took his own life. Instantly he knew his overestimation and quickly continued the contemplation and became arahant before passed away. He was success because already has experience before with his practice. According to Sayadaw, it was the importance of discerning of anicca before that could overcome difficulties. In the Anathapindika Sutta, Upasaka Anathapindika was gravely ill and Ven. Sariputta and Ven. Ananda went to see him. Sariputta knew that he would not survive, so giving him a series of talk related to the practice. The objects of practice were 6 sense bases, 6 sense objects, 6 consciousnesses, 6 contacts, 6 elements, 5 khandhas, this world and the world beyond, what is seen, heard, sensed and cognized. What Sariputta taught him was with the practice he should not cling them by training the mind not depending on them. After hearing this talk the Upasaka cried because he never heard these kinds of talk before. Sariputta comforted him by saying that this kind of talk was good for the monks only, not to lay people. He requested Sariputta for this kind of talk also should give to lay people, because some could have the potentials for realization. Anathapindika usually went to see the Buddha 3 times a day, but the Buddha never gave him this kind of talk. The Buddha himself could have some reasons for it. One reason was Anathapindika himself was not matured enough to this kind of talk for the higher realization. He was already a Sotapanna. Ask the people, do they know how to die? I expect most people's answer will be, no. Or they may even answer, I don't want to die. Not to mention death, they don't even know how to live themselves. If they do not know how to live with their own lives, it will become more difficult for them to face death. The Buddha's education is the art of living and dying. The above 2 suttas is about living and dying. Upasaka Anathapindika's life was an example for living and then Channa's life for dying. There were a lot of dharmas for living and dying in the Pali Nikayas. Dying is very important for everyone, because the dying moment will decide our future existences. Closing square bracket. Entering into the fruition attainment, phala samapatti, is from the process of impermanence. The mind in a blip is inclining towards nibbana element. This referred to Sariputta and Kunda, who were staying on the mountain Vulture Peak for seclusion. The Buddha had the skill of entering into the fruition attainment within in-breath and out-breath. He could control or govern his mind to this level. Told the story of Channa. Then, Sariputta questioned Channa on his attainment. Do you take consciousness which arises from the contact of object and sense base as me or mine? Then, Channa's answer, no, I don't take it in these ways, Bhante. He has discerned impermanence, that not taking him as me or mine. So, he had right view, but not an arahant yet. This was only insight knowledge, vipassana nana. The worldlings, i.e., practicing yogis, also can have it. Whatever mind arises, if you discern it's not existing, is right view. Vipassana nana means discerning of the not existing of the arising phenomena. I.e., seeing from the existing phenomena to its not existing phenomena. Its arising and its vanishing. 2 minds can't exist in a parallel event or at the same time. The contemplating mind has to follow later, that only can see the not existing of its phenomena. It's not contemplating the non-existence of phenomena. Non-existence of phenomena are just concepts, e.g., God, tortoise hairs, man, etc. From the existence of a phenomenon to its non-existence is an ultimate concept, tisari panati. It's one kind of concepts, and not the concept of non-existence. As an example, for you Ma Din, if you touch anywhere on the body, you will not find it. This talk was given to Upasaka you Ma Din. You can't find it because it's non-existing. The existing phenomena are arising, udaya, not existing is vanishing, baya, hence it's uday abaya nana or vipassana nana, insight knowledge. People didn't see these Pali passages and didn't know what has been said. Mind with mind cannot see the arising and vanishing at the same time. But one mind sees the arising phenomenon and the following mind sees the vanishing phenomenon, observing at it in a blip and not seeing it there. Before it has been seen here, but with the knowledge, nana, which is the contemplating mind, mind looks at it and not see it. This is the view in the practice. Not existing is anicca, impermanence, and the knowing mind, contemplating mind, is MAGA, the five path factors. You see the existing phenomenon to its not existing phenomenon. It's not totally non-existence. This is very important words in regard to vipassana knowledge. From the side of knowledge, nana, all of them are in this way. Ven. Kunda told Ven. Channa, as with the dependency, the mind was wavering, and with the independence it was not wavering. Ven. Channa was with craving, tana. He had dependence on the kanda. He had affliction on the kanda. So, he didn't want to suffer with dukkha vedana, that talking about to take his life with the knife. This was talking about tana attached to the kanda. Tana is wavering if the kanda is shaking, i.e., afflicted. Far or near distances are not the main point. With dependence, it will shake. Sayadaw retold the story of Ven. Channa. You have to know the arisings of phenomenon and also not the existing of it. This is right view. The view of the insight knowledge, Vipassana Magga view, is this view. It's not the view of the path factors, which is supramundane path factors, Lokuttara Magga. You can contemplate any one of the four Satipatthanas. It's important to discern the vanishing phenomena. The Buddha had said that if you contemplate one of them, it includes all of them. Why the Buddha was asking the monks to try the practice? He wanted them to have the right view. When with the arising of Vedana you're wavering by attaching to the kanda. Sense objects and sense bases are connected with wrong view and craving, ditthi tana. See the Nandakovada Suttam Sutta in Majjhima N, Minnesota 146. Worldlings don't like to be in calmness. They want to be in wavering. The saying of the couple is living and dying together means smiling and grimacing together, man and woman who have strong attachment to each other. Smiling is tana and not a peaceful happiness. After that you'll be in grimace because DA process is continued. If you are able to end smiling and the grimace will be ended. You don't see the original nature of the kanda, so that you could smile. And when you see it, you have to be in grimace. Its own nature is changing, viparinama. Only by knowing its original nature that smile and grimace will be finished. This is by insight practice. Don't smile when it arises, and don't grimace when it vanishes. You must contemplate at it with the equanimity of insight, vipassana upekkha. You have to know the arising and vanishing of the phenomena. This is the nature of the kanda. The original nature of the kanda is arising and vanishing. It's free from the smile and grimace, that it's also insight, vipassana, and also equanimity, upekkha. The view of insight is discerning of impermanence, and the view of transcendental knowledge, Lokuttara Magga, is the view of no arising and vanishing of Nibbana. These are the differences between them. You have to practice until the kanda disappears, and only with the knowledge leaving behind, i.e., the contemplating mind with the eight path factors or the path-factored mind. It's peaceful because with no kanda and kalesa. Remember it as you have arrived at Nibbana with body and mind tranquility, i.e., kaya and citta passadi. The commentary mentioned it as kaya passadi, body tranquility, citta passadi, mind tranquility, and kalesa passadi, non-kalesa tranquility. Only with the contemplating mind, the eight path factored mind, is leaving behind the process, therefore, the mind experiences perfect peace and happiness, i.e., Nibbana. You follow the process of arising and vanishing by focusing on them. After that you'll become disenchanted and disgusted with them, and then it'll come to you as no arising and vanishing will be good, With that decision, the arising and vanishing phenomena come to an end. The body, mind and defilement calm down, which the commentary mentioned as Kaya, Citta and Kalesa Pasadis respectively. You note it as the path knowledge, i.e., Magunga. You have to practice hard according to the processes of the knowledge. Have to discern the vanishing phenomena. This is the knowledge of dissolution of formations, Banganupasana Nana. This stage is the climax of Anicca. If you see them a lot, you will become disenchanted with them. Even becoming of disenchanting with them, you still have to observe them. Even become don't want to see them and stop the practice. With the strong disenchantment and the knowledge of not wanting them will arise. All the other knowledges are included here. The Buddha did not mention all of them in many suttas, only three of them. Rise and fall, disenchantment and path knowledge. The commentary mentioned 10 of them. You'll not get the next kanda, i.e., new one, if you die with no attaching to the kanda. The following talks were related to the Anathapandikavada Sutta. With attachment, beings take rebirths at places where they have attached to it. The monk Tissa had attachment to the robe, a new robe for a monk, that became a louse in the new robe. Some died with the attachment to their wives and children born as dogs, snakes, etc. People are buying things because they desire for them and this is attachment. So, they can become louses, cockroaches, etc. If no attachment will not become again. Showed it with the chart of DA process. Only with insight knowledge comes in there will be no attachment. Attachment will be ceased by seeing impermanence. You must contemplate with insight to the attached phenomena if you want Nibbana. There is no attachment by knowing him as impermanent, suffering and non-self. The most affectionate phenomenon is one's own kanda. Therefore, all is finished if we exterminate it, one's affectionate kanda. Sayadaw told the story in the Anathapandikavada Sutta. What is not clinging? With practice, not clinging to the object only become non-attachment. Non-attachment comes by knowing the nature of the kanda. Knowing the nature of kanda is insight knowledge. They have the nature of impermanent, suffering, non-self and the truth of suffering, dukkha-sakkha. Because of our human surroundings, such as parents, teachers, etc. Its original nature lost. In these ways inversions come in, vipalasa, and seeing them with distortions. Clinging will arise if you see not its original nature, with that next life will come. Close your eyes and contemplate feelings which arise on the body, you can't see man, woman, etc., attachment of craving and clinging, tanha and upadana, fall away. Then, Sariputta gave instruction to Anathapindika. You must not cling to form, feeling, perception, formation and consciousness, the five khandhas, what is seen, heard, sensed and cognized, and all the dharmas. If you discern impermanence, note it as emptiness, sanatta. It becomes emptiness. We all have to die and must do the practice on the existing kanda for not clinging to it. The way of not clinging is to know it as useless. You'll cling to it if you take it as useful. Because of the clinging and kanda comes into being. The practice of not clinging to the existing kanda is the most important one. You have to use the knowledge eye, Nana Kaku, to observe the existing kanda, and will see its impermanence, suffering, non-self, loathsome and truth of suffering, dukkha-sakkha. You can see it only with right view. Clinging, upadana, is the truth of the cause of suffering, samudaya-sakkha. The clinging, kanda, upadana-kanda, is the truth of suffering, dukkha-sakkha. If you have clinging, dukkha will arise. The objects are emptiness. Sunnata, the sense bases are also emptiness and clinging fall off. The Buddha Dharma, sasana, will disappear if no one teaches emptiness and you also don't have the ear to listen to them. This point is more evident in later traditions which get lost in rite, ritual and superstitions. Anathapindika passed away and reborn in Tusita heaven as a young beautiful devata. When the night was well advanced, he went to see the Buddha and addressed him with stanzas. He addressed to the Blessed One that only the Noble Eightfold Path extinguished defilements and leading to Nibbana. The path factors arise by observing with knowledge, Nana, on the Kanda's original nature. King Milinda asked Ven. Nagasena has explained for him how impermanence of phenomena leading to Nibbana. Ven. Nagasena didn't answer them from what he had heard from others. His answer was his own direct experience. Contemplating knowledge is turning towards rising and falling by progressing towards Nibbana. After that, all the khandhas disappear and leaving behind with the contemplating knowledge. The contemplating knowledge is from the impermanence side, it turns towards no impermanence. With all the impermanence is truth of suffering, dukkha sakka, and without them is nirodha sakka, the ending of dukkha. From the side of dukkha sakka it turns towards nirodha sakka, but the khanda still exists, this is the yogi's body, but the mind do not experience it. Dharma Talks by Mogik Sayadaw, the 20th of October 1961. Importance of Habitual Practice. This talk was based on the Asaji Sutta in the Khandavagga, Samyutta Nikaya, SN 22. 88, Asaji Suttam. The Buddha was dwelling at Rajagaha in the bamboo grove. Bhikkhu Asaji was dwelling Kasapaka's park, sick, afflicted and gravely ill. Because of his illness he lost his attainments of jhana. The Buddha went to see him and gave encouragement as samadhi practice was not the essence of his teaching. So, the Buddha gave him the instruction on insight practice, vipassana. At the end of the Buddha's exposition of the three characteristics, he became an arahant. Closing square bracket. With painful feeling arising, Asaji failed to obtain samadhi, and he was in despair. The Buddha told him, "You carefully note that samadhi is not the essence of Dharma in my teaching, sasana. Only insight practice is the essential one. Maybe you'll tell me, I have been practicing for a while now and I haven't got samadhi yet. You should not be in low spirit because of weak samadhi. In the Buddha's teaching samadhi is not the real essence." Asaji's mind was uplifted. Samadhi is as a supporting factor and wisdom, panna, is the main one. Listen to me what I tell you, and the Buddha asked him to contemplate with insight. Feelings exist, minds exist and the five khandhas exit. I'll ask you and give me the answers, the Buddha turned his mind to the objects. Asaji's samadhi was fallen apart and also with illness. Therefore, the Buddha asked him to contemplate the khanda to arrive at the insight knowledge. From now on you all have to practice and become the habitual kamma, asanaka kamma. Every time feeling arises, you have to contemplate and discern its anicca. The Buddha taught as someone has strong wrong view, ditthi, contemplating the minds, sittanupasana, and with strong craving, tanha, on feeling, vedananupasana. At any time, you have to practice it becomes habitual kamma. Asina kamma means to exercise it very often. I remind it to all of you. What is the reason for it? The search for something comes with a desire, and you also don't want to be separated from the family members. But you have to leave the properties behind and also separate from the family members. So, you can't deny it that it'll be difficult for your dying. This is not for the main concern. The main concern is prepared for the habitual kamma, which the Buddha has mentioned it. Knowledge, i.e., vipassana, has to be exercised very often. You need to contemplate a lot on the mind and feeling. Anicca and anicca nana have to fit in together, i.e., discerning of anicca. It becomes habitual kamma if you practice every day. With a lot of practice and at the time of near death, the thought which you don't want to separate from the family members and let go of the properties can be arisen. If I have to give you an example, your habitual kamma of practice is like the strong flowing water current. Your mind states of unwilling to separate and let go of things are like a stick coming in the way of current. With the strong current, the stick is moving away from its path. Your vipassana practice every day is like the strong water current. In this way, the wholesome habitual kamma, asanaka kamma, will give the result, and the unwholesome death proximate kamma, asana kamma, will give the way or shun away from it. You have to practice urgently for the matter of winning at near death. Asana kamma is the duty of everyday exercise, and asana kamma is the matter of near death actions. Asana kamma will give the result if you don't have the insight practice. It's quite fearful indeed. The clinging to family members will drag one to a payaboom, woeful existences, and the clinging is tanha, craving. DA process arises, and with the clinging and action, upadana kamma become woeful birth. Asana kamma throws the being down there. You all have the wholesome merits, but these are not done by you very often. You must do one of the four satipatthana very often. The cars and things which you have bought, the houses, buildings which you have built, etc., are your enemies. It may come at near death. These fearful things and related to asana kamma, which close to the mind at death, qti citta. Near the cessation of the mind consciousness it can arise, i.e., near the cessation of death consciousness. Upasakas, lay supporters, who has built Buddha images and monasteries had been in apayas, woeful existences were by asana kammas. They did not have the insight knowledge, but if they could practice and attained the path knowledge, then the asana kamma couldn't obstruct them. You must practice to have the asanaka kamma. For Queen Malika, an asana kamma came in at near death, and she fell into painful existence. She had remorse for a small mistake which had been done before at near death. She had offered the greatest dana which could happen at each Buddha's time. Sayadaw told the story. She didn't attain the path knowledge that her destination of rebirth was unstable. Only the path knowledge had been seen, Nibbana would be stable. If it wasn't, then it's unstable. You have to remember it for two points. Either you had attained the path knowledge or had practiced to the point of becoming habitual kamma. See the Channavada Sutta of Majjhima Nikaya, Minnesota 144. It's probable that at near death the matters of family members, wife and children, and businesses can come in. Someone with no insight practice is no easy for him to separate with these things at near death. Asana kamma will send one to good destination, sugati, or nibbana, i.e., with vipassana practice. So, don't be lazy at it. At near death you have to contemplate with all of your energy. Why can you contemplate with all of your energy? It's because with the power of asanaka kamma, otherwise if you see the hell sign and have to go accordingly. You'll become animal if seeing the animal sign. Someone with the Asanaka Kama, he can change them by seeing it. If you see hell fire and you know I'll go there. Because you have heard about them before. At that time, you had to contemplate the Kanda with full force and can realize Nibbana by seeing Anicca, its disenchantment and its ending. There is nothing to be in low spirit about it. Someone who had the Asanaka Kama and at near death, he could become Arahant, e.g., Ven. Channa. Someone without the Asanaka Kama, he has to go accordingly with the sign of rebirth. The Buddha explained the two differences on worshipping him and the insight practice. Having respect and worship in the Buddha can send someone to good destination, Sugati, and with the practice arrive Nibbana. Reduce the practice of worship the Buddha and with more on Vipassana practice become Asanaka Kama. The commentary gave an example. The old cows stayed near the entrance door of a cow pen. These old cows came out first from the pen when the door was opened in the early morning. Here the old cows represented the Asana Kama near death. It appears first if there is no habitual Kama. Sayadaw explained about it here. You don't need to listen to this kind of talk just only for merits. Offering of drinking water to travelers is also making merits. In the old days in Burma, some Burmese established waterpot shelves along the roadsides for travelers, usually underneath shady trees, and even some had small open sala for rest. The Buddha preferred the cutting off all wholesome, unwholesome and mixed kammas, i.e., mixed with positive and negative actions. The action which cut off all other kammas is Vipassana Kama and Magan Kama, i.e., insight knowledges and path knowledges. Practice for a while and stop for a while, this cannot become habitual. You have to practice a lot for it. You're succeeded if the knowledge fit in with impermanence. The contemplating mind discerns Anicca. Sayadaw continued Asaji's story. The Buddha gave an instruction of Dharma with questions and answers form to Ven. Asaji, and during the instruction he became Arahant. Here Samadhi was only helping and supporting the practice. Vipassana practice is leading by wisdom. Vipassana practice includes Samadhi factors. Samadhi factors include in the practice if you discern Anicca. During the practice also includes sila factors.